Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
We've been talking about living out of the kingdom, and the kingdom of God is not over there or there or up there. It's just down here. It's in us. Amen?
Amen.
It's in you. When we understand that, it's going to really, really affect the way you live. So we're trying to grow in our understanding of the kingdom of God. All right. And I got a couple things I'm going to share with you. So we've been on this idea of peace and living out of the kingdom of God. And so peace is only possible when it comes out of righteousness. So righteousness has to be first, right relationship with God. And then fruit of that will produce peace. Peace only comes from righteousness. Otherwise, you have worldly peace, and that means you have to turn everything down and make everything quiet. All the birds have to quit chirping, everything. But that only going to last for a second, and that's just fantasy, because it's really not real peace. See that? Real peace that everybody longs for comes from God, and God only. And so it's really important to understand what we are talking about. Because, folks, when we get this, it's just going to really have an impact on the way you live. And people are going to say, that bunch over there at Russell Road, they're a noisy bunch, but they sure have, they got peace over there. Well, they were just at my house, and I felt peace when they came in. They're shouting and carrying on over there, but they got peace. We're going to bring some peace, amen? Because peace is power. It is. When you got peace, you got power. Oh, goodness gracious. I'm going to start off with talking to you a little bit about my week. I had a good week. I've had a good week. It's been a different week, but everybody have different weeks. Things going on, right? But everything's working, right? What's it doing? It's working for our good, right? So, that's important to understand that God's up to good, right? And He's going to bring good out of every situation we're going through, all circumstances, situations. He will bring good out of it. You stay with Him, good's going to show up. And sometimes good really looks different than what you thought it did. You know what I mean? Than what you thought it was. So, we're to have regard for the good for all men in the sight of God. In Romans chapter 12, 17. See that? Regard means prepare ahead of time. Pray ahead of time that God will, the goodness of God will show up. Amen? All right. We've been looking at this idea of peace, and I just got back from that trip I went on. Went to Alaska and got back and kind of hit the ground running. There's a lot of messages on my phone and stuff. So now we get back, and so I got somebody in the hospital I got to go see. I got somebody who's passed away. I got somebody who's real sick in hospice in Centerville. And his name is Richard Chambliss. I got to go see him, and I got all the way in Centerville. And so I get there and I'm praying that the Holy Spirit, I'm trying to live with this idea, like I've been teaching and preaching, the Holy Spirit working in me, you know? I said, Lord, you know what's going on. You know, help me bring your presence in there and just help me, Lord. And so I get in there and the one daughter is just getting ready to leave and the other daughter was sitting by the bed, of his bed. So the one daughter talked to me a few minutes and she's glad I've met you. I've heard about you and Donita and knew Donita's name. And you know, and then she had to leave. But so the other daughter was still there. Her name's Julia. And so I was sitting there. I was standing there next to the bed talking. And she was telling me how he had been in there since August. And so, you know, a month. And so she said, he hasn't moved. She said, but when I mentioned your name and Donita's name the other day that you're probably going to come see him, his face quivered and he tried to smile. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. Well, while I was standing there next to the bed, his finger is bumping me. She goes, look, he's moving. He knows you're here. And, you know, I've always said, no matter what, when people are unconscious, no matter what, Alzheimer's, whatever, they're in there. They just can't communicate to you. You see that? That's significant. So he bumps me with his finger. And so I reached down, I grabbed his hand, and I just start, and he starts gripping my hand. I can feel a little bit. She goes, man, I haven't seen that much out of him all month. And so we're talking, and I started talking. But then something came on me, and I said, Richard. I got loud, and I said, Richard, I'm glad to see you. I started talking to him inside there. And I said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk. And I was speaking that over him. And while I was speaking that over him, he raised up and grabbed a hold of my arm and her arm and started shaking us and smiling. And his eyes opened up and he twinkled. And he just had this grin on his face. And he's holding us and shaking us. And she's, oh, Daddy, what's going on? She didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to say either. But you know what I did? I kept on speaking the word of God. And he kept on shaking. And I kept speaking. I didn't want to quit. And I just kept speaking the word of God over him. You see that? And then he just kind of relaxed. And sat back and laid back down. He hadn't moved in over a month. Here's my point. The word of God is what that was. She said she'd been talking to him all, hadn't seen nothing. When you speak the word of God over his people, stuff happens. Are you getting this? Now listen. The presence of God was so strong in there. I cried. I mean, I cried all the way home. It put the fear of God in me. Not a bad cry. It's a good cry. I've seen that one other time, and her name is Peggy. And her daughter goes here, Tasha. And I went and visited her. And she was in a coma, and they were planning her funeral. Her daughter was here planning her funeral. I went and seen her, and I spoke the word of God over her. She sat up. Eyes opened up. And the next day, she come out of there. And lived for 3 more years after that. I'm just trying to help you see something. What I'm trying to help you see, the word of God, it says in Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living. It's living, it says. This word living, now pay attention, this word living is the word alive in Greek. It's the Greek word zoe poses. Zoe poses. Zoe means, it's a compound word. Zoe means the life God intended. Poses means to make. Did you get that? The word of God is alive. The life God created and intended to make. You see that? You can't get to what God intended without the Bible. Are you catching me? Are you catching this? Some people use the Bible as a resource. My Bible is not my resource. My Bible is the source of life. Are you listening to me? My Bible is the source of life, not a resource for life. It's the source of life. Are you catching this? And this is what we're going to get into today about the peace. We're talking about the peace. Peace with God, peace with man, and peace with people. Are you with me? We're talking about that today. Now, we read from Romans about the kingdom of God. Now, who we got? Mariette? Give me Hebrews chapter 12. You know, you've heard the story of David and Goliath. Goliath wasn't sent to kill David. He was sent to reveal David. So your biggest problem has come to reveal you. Still glad you came to church? Your biggest problem is sent to show you what's in you. And I'm going to tell you what, there's no problem that you and God can't handle. None. Now watch this. Oh, I got to say this. You don't have moral authority to rebuke what you practice. You see that? When you practice watching pornography, you're not going to have any authority in your life over anything that God is up to. Are you listening to me? God will let you have that. When you practice homosexuality, anything. When you're practicing that, God, you see that? When you're practicing immorality, you know, people get upset because I want to encourage people to be married. Folks, God wants to bless you. You can stop it because you just don't want to. You can have authority in your life. You see that? Come on, am I making sense? God wants you to have authority over your life and over the things that are going to tear you down and the things that are getting into your life. But when you're practicing what's immoral, you can't have authority. Are we making sense? You can't conquer what you refuse to confront. You cannot conquer what you refuse to confront. All right. So, today, we're talking about peace with people. Now, let's watch this. Therefore, strengthen the hands that hang down, which hang down. Remember the word hands. The word hands, what's that represent? Your will. Your will. So remember Nehemiah 6? Nehemiah shouted out to God. He said, strengthen my hands, O Lord, that the work may be complete. Because Tobias and Sanballat were trying to get him to stop the work. He says, they're trying to make me afraid so the work won't be finished. See that? Afraid is talking about the fear of man. That's why they snuck up there and talked to him while he was up there trying to complete the wall. See, the wall around Jerusalem was peace and protection for Jerusalem. And Nehemiah continued to keep doing the work. He didn't let those Sanballat and Tobias represent demons, spirits coming to talk to you and keep you from doing the work of the Lord. Amen? So he says, strengthen his hands. Strengthen the hands. The word hands in Hebrew means your will, which hang down. See, when your will is lined up with God's will, You are something the enemy is running from. Now watch this. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight. Remember, the word straight is the word ortho, which means straight, orthodontic, orthopedic, you know, orthodox. Orthodox is straight thinking. Orthopedic is your bones. And orthodontist is your teeth. You get braces on your teeth, get them straight, right? When you get your braces off, when they took my braces off, they said, you're going to have to wear a retainer. Because when you have braces, it's a lifetime of retention. You're going to need tension, or they're going to go back to being crooked. That's why we need each other. We need tension from each other. We need the body, or we go back to being crooked. Am I making sense? Straight. Straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not become dislocated. Lame means what's not producing, what's not functioning, and fulfilling the will of God in your life. So God's trying to get that area of your life. But here's what happens. People will come to church, and they've got a trauma, and they've got all this unforgiveness or whatever, and they don't get healed of it, and something triggers it, and they run out of here. They run to another church. You see that? And really, that's what they do. They just keep going from one place to another, one place to another. You see, if you get planted, you're going to be healed. You're going to get healed in church. Am I making sense? Because the church is designed to bring healing. That's what he's talking about. What is lame may not become dislocated. You'll dislocate yourself because you weren't willing to stay in there and get things straight with you and God. Amen? Making sense? Now look, but rather be healed. God wants us healed. God's looking to heal us. Now look, give me the next one. This is how healing takes place. Pursue peace with all people. How many people? And holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Now think about this. Seeing is vision. That's what he's talking about. If you don't have a clear vision, if your vision is obfuscated, it's going to be, you're not going to be able to see the way God sees. I used to think, see the Lord was when I go to heaven, I won't see the Lord. But that's not what that's talking about. It's talking about vision now. Seeing God's hand in your life. You see that? When I was visiting Richard, I saw God's hand in my life. Am I making sense? And God wants you to see his hand in your life. You hear me? Now watch. He wants your vision clear. Now, look at this next one. Looking carefully. Ooh. Remember that? I'm going to do a little recap. Looking carefully. What's that mean? Carefully, diligently. Those two words, looking carefully. You know what it means? These two words. Remember what it means? It's the word episkopos. Bishop. Bishop. Remember? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You with me? And a bishop, listen, a bishop watches, directs, guides, and corrects, and gives oversight over your soul and your mind. In other words, you are responsible for everything coming in and everything going out of your life. What comes in and what goes out. Now listen to me. By being responsible, I mean this. You can't control what happens to you. But you can control how you respond to what happens to you. Did you hear me? You can't control what happens to you. But you can control how you respond to what happened to you. And that's what God holds you responsible for. Did you catch that? Now look, we are often tempted to blame our bad attitudes, our bitterness, our resentments, our unhealthy feelings of unforgiveness on other people. The truth is, we are responsible for our own emotions and actions. We are responsible for our emotions and our actions. If a person does something that has the potential to offend us, God holds us responsible for whether or not that offense takes root in our minds and hearts. God holds us responsible if that offense takes root in our hearts and minds. We can choose to let it sink into our souls and take root, or we can opt out and let it bypass us. Are you catching that? And let it bypass us. We are not able to control what others do or say to us, but we are able to control what goes inside of us and out of us. Am I making sense? It is that inside part that you control that God will hold you responsible for, because you are charged with a personal responsibility to oversee what goes on inside your soul. You are the bishop to be looking carefully and looking diligently over your mind and your heart. That is magnanimous. That is gargantuous. That is big. Are you with me? Now listen, this is huge. God will hold others responsible for what they do to us. God will hold us responsible for what we allow go on inside of our minds and our hearts. We can't answer for the actions of others, but we will answer for our inward responses to what others have done to us. Did you catch that? That is significant. Now, so this is the idea. You're the bishop. We're to pursue peace with all people. I want you to go with me to Ephesians 4:31, talking about peace with people. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be kind to one another. Remember, this word kind is God's kindness. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Kindness is never being nice. See, a lot of people can be nice. The devil's nice. You hear me? The devil's going to be nice. Make you think something. All right. But he's not going to be kind. He don't have the ability to be kind. He says, be kind to one another. Kind, if you really do a word search on the word kindness, it's mercy. I'm not giving you what you deserve. Kindness. So be kind to one another. Tenderhearted. Here it is. Woo-hoo. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You see this? Forgiveness. If you're going to have peace with people, you have to forgive people. It's not an option. You must forgive people. If you don't forgive people, it will contaminate your soul and your mind. But you let it in. You're the one that let it in, and you let it take root. When something grows in your garden, it's because you didn't tend to it. See, if you're tending to the garden, you're going to get the weeds out, right? So the fruit can produce. Are you catching that? And so those weeds don't take root and take over. But if you're tending the garden, you can get those things out. Amen? That don't belong there. And that's what I'm trying to help you see. We can keep those things from taking root in our hearts and minds, like bitterness, resentment. It don't have to happen. You hear me? This is significant. It really is, because, folks, listen to me. When you understand this, you're going to pay attention to this verse we just read. And anger is a secondary emotion. It's a response from what has happened to you. It's a response from what has happened to you. You need to be able to control that in a way and steward it in a way that's going to bring health to yourself and others. See, anger's not a bad thing. It puts people in prison. It does a lot of things. But when it's stewarded right, it can be a good thing in your life. You see this? Now watch. What's important? See, you cannot have unforgiveness in your life and fulfill the will of God. So here's the idea. He wants you to forgive, right? So number one, you're going to have to acknowledge that you've been hurt by someone. You hear me? You're going to have to acknowledge it. You're going to have to speak it. Say, I've been hurt. Because what you don't confront, you won't be healed. See that? What you don't confront, what you don't confess in knowledge, you'll never change. You see that? Are you seeing this? So you have to acknowledge you've been hurt. There's pain. You can't forgive what you don't want to acknowledge. You hear me? You can't forgive what you don't want to acknowledge. And folks, listen to me. Unforgiveness has the ability to create anxiety, worry, and problems in your life that really grow into bigger problems. Anxiety, you know what anxiety means? It means the state of uneasiness, distress, and stress about future uncertainties. That's what anxiety means. The state of uneasiness and stress about future uncertainties. You catching that? So that's what happens. You allow unforgiveness in, you open yourself up to stress. I mean, all kinds of stuff going on. Now, I remember a time when I had unforgiveness in my life. This was before I even came up here as a pastor. I had unforgiveness in my heart. And I was driving and I was talking to the person I needed to forgive. And they were 200 miles away. I'm in the car talking to this person. I remember you looking like, what's he a little... You know what I'm saying. Because you've done it too. I'm talking to him and it's like this. And I'm seeing myself talking to him and I'm thinking, what is wrong? What are you doing? And I saw him and I called on the Lord. I said, Lord, forgive me. I repented. I pulled the car over. And as soon as I pulled the car over and repented, I got back in. It's like it was off of me. But it was removed. True repentance brings healing.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.